What are you doing?
High five.
High five.
Survived.
This is day 1100th, hour 1 bajillionth. It's CES is just a sheer test of stamina, insanity. It's where 150,000+ people come to look at the latest, greatest bells, whistles, gadgets, everything. I mean, this is where technology comes, truly comes to audition for our everyday lives. We have covered it all. We have seen it all.
Welcome to the Techishly Gen podcast.
We are smart tech for real life. Think of it as your girlfriend's guide to gadgets.
Here to help us, tech life columnist Jennifer Jolly.
Here to help me test them out, Jennifer Jolly.
Jen is the nationally syndicated tech life columnist for USA Today. You always blow our mind.
Jennifer Jolly, whose name is just fun to say.
Jennifer Jolly!
Taken, I don't know, at least 800,000 bajillion steps, touched 1,200 gadgets. I can tell you right now, I've seen a lot more robots. I feel like robots are in there. Remember those giant brick cell phones from the early 1980s? That's where, like, truly home helper Rosie the robot from the Jetsons, that's the stage we're in right now. Those brick cell phones are out. They're here. This is my 17th year at CES, and we've seen a lot of prototype robots in the past, but they're actually at that phase where, okay, we see the vision for the future. And the vision is two things. It's a robot that folds your laundry, feeds your dog, washes your windows, like does chores for you at home. And then there's the industrial, like factory robot that takes over the repetitive, the dangerous, and the just plain no human wants to do kind of tasks. So those are two very clear trends that we're seeing in robots this year.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting to see that you're just like walking down the convention center and like a little robot is now running by you. And it's just...
It's sci-fi. We're living in a sci-fi like fever dream.
Yeah. It definitely felt like iRobot.
Yeah, it like, totally does.
And that's just like contextual, but...
It's also really funny to see them just screw up everywhere.
Yeah.
Like they're crashing into things. They're, you know, the little Michael Jackson dancing robot the other day, like passed out, and everybody's like, oh, you included, like, I don't want a robot. Meh, robots. And then, like crowds are cheering for robots when this little guy like takes a tumble and then gets back up. Everybody's like, yay. There is an emotional connection. Cloyd is LG's big robot that I went hands-on with the other day. And Cloyd's, like, desperately trying to fold a towel. It's like the home helper bot, you know, that's going to make your life easier and integrate with all of your smart home products and know how you're feeling when you walk through the door at the end of the day and have a bowl of soup waiting for you and your little slippers. And, you know, it's like Mr. Rogers meets Rosie the robot or something. And the towel folding, you said when we were watching it happen, first of all, it took almost 2 minutes. And then you said, looked like something your kids would have done.
Yeah.
Pretty sure your kids would have done a better job.
Yeah. Like I appreciate my kids helping me fold laundry. And, but it's usually when they turn their back, I just like have to refold it all.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what that robot did. Yeah. So for me, as someone who's just like nonstop, I cannot relax for the life of me. So my relaxing is like folding laundry.
Yeah.
And if a robot is going to take 2 minutes to fold a towel, like it's just a non-starter.
Here's what I need. I need a robot to just follow me around and clean up after me. Like put my clothes away, put all the gadgets away. If I had a robot that just unboxed gadgets for me and that's all it did, it would save me so many hours of my life, or absolutely did my laundry, washed my windows. I'm one of those people who I want everything to be super clean and everything in its little place, but I have zero ability to do that myself on a daily basis.
But I also don't think robots have to be standing on 2 feet. Like, I think we saw, I'm I'm super interested in the pool robots. So like Aper. There's also Swimbot, something like that.
Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Yeah. So like those are the robots that interest me. It's like I don't need it in my house, but if it was cleaning the bottom of my pool.
I don't need it in my house. I just need it in my pool. Okay, fancy.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But the lawn bots, robots are really cool.
Yeah.
Window washing bots, they've kind of come, they've kind of gone. They're not, I haven't seen any of that application this year, but the lawns, the pools, the personal companions, I've seen a lot of that. So, the one that stands out, I'm taking it on the Today Show with me, is Tombot's Jenny. It is Jenny the robot Labrador puppy. Check out, she has over 1,500 different expressions. It's Jim Henson's Creature Shop helped create this. Like, it is the most lifelike lap puppy that I've ever seen. It is so sweet, so cute, so cuddly. It has a ton of little sensors and does all of these different gestures, like it'll turn to the sound of your voice. It feels alive. It's not like just a heartbeat or something, but you pick it up and it almost kind of vibrates. It feels like a living creature. It'll bark when you call its name, but the whole idea behind it is to provide care and comfort for people with memory loss, like Alzheimer's, dementia. I think it'd be great for people with anxiety, autism. That is such a special product, and I have a former mother-in-law who went through dementia and Alzheimer's, and I gave her those Joy for All companion pets, like a very early version of this technology, and she petted them so much that it wore the hair off, the fur off. So that is really special, really spectacular, and I think will bring a lot of comfort to people. What are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing at you. This is jumping around, but you mentioned that she wore the hair off, which then automatically made me think of like some of the worst CES products. And it was like hair.
I know where you're going with
the
it.
The automatic like hair cutter, the barber.
Hair trimmer.
Yeah, do you ever see Wayne's World where the suck cut, where it like just sucks and cuts? Like that thing was like, I can't imagine cutting my hair with that.
Okay, so it's an electric razor. Think any electric razor, but instead of like the number two blade, it decides how it's going to like go up. What's the, Ivelisse, what's that called? Like the fade?
How it's
going to fade up. So you wear this little thing. Like, how do you even describe? Like, there's a sensor that goes over your eyebrows, right? And then a little band over your ear. And that tells this gadget, the clippers, where you want the hairline to be. It was so absurd.
It was bad.
It was so bad. And the little fake head that they had it on.
It was like a styrofoam mannequin head.
Oh my God. It was so bad. And that's the moment where you're just like, oh. Everybody's just making fun of this.
Yeah,
like, but we're all crowded around and gathered around because we're laughing at you, not with you.
I mean, good for them, though. They took a chance, and I think that's the great thing about CES is you see, like, a crappy product, and then the next year could be so much better.
Speaking of crappy products, sensors in your toilet.
Oh, that was big.
That's huge.
There was a lot of, like...
Speaking of is amazing to me.
A lot of peeing on things now. Yeah. And it's just like, that's one thing that I don't know. Like,
where do you go? A lot of peeing on things. That's really big now. Where do you go
like
from
the
there,
way
Scott?
The way the person told it to me was, well, you're getting rid of it anyway, so you might as well like figure out what's in it. And I'm just like, we're getting to a point where, like, we're trying to put tech into, like, quite literally everything that we do every single day.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Can I just pee and just flush the toilet?
Well, I think that this year I've seen more like health embedded gadgets than ever before. So one of the things that stood out to me was this Neurologics longevity mirror. So longevity is a huge buzzword. Everything's about longevity. How can I live better, older, longer? So we're going to put a little sensor in your toilet bowl to make sure you're staying hydrated, to see if you have any early signs of like diabetes or liver disease.
Or if you're dehydrated or, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and if there are crystals in your urine,
yeah,
whatever, yep. whatever. But this Neurologics longevity mirror, I my tagline for it has become like mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the healthiest of them all.
Yeah. I pay a lot of attention to like the health and wellness space and longevity. And I'm starting to get concerned that we're just continuing to like stroke the fears of like the unknown of like what's happening inside your body.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, 5 years ago, if something hurt, you'd go to a doctor and seek the opinion of like someone who went to medical school. Yeah. And now it's like, I'm going to pee on this and
let AI tell me what.
Yeah, exactly.
About.
And then, so if you pee in the morning and your cell phone says XYZ,
yeah,
then you're stressed out for the rest of the day. And then you look at your Whoop later in the day and yeah. your heart rate for the day was elevated. And now you're worried about your heart rate.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I don't know. It's just,
it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that in general is a takeaway from this show. It's too much. There's too much tech vying for your attention. It's too loud. It's too, like, there's too many products for product's sake. There's too much tech for tech's sake. Just because something can doesn't mean it should. So the winners in my book this year aren't like, oh, wow, look, it's a flying car. By the way, no flying cars here this year. No flying, you know, like, or, hey, it's a robot that may someday be able to fold a towel. It's that very real, practical, solves a huge problem kind of tech.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I really love is this like smart home gadget. It's called Oval, O-V-A-L. It's out of Irvine AI. It's a smart home hub that can tell you where you left. Like if I put my glasses down and I run around like I do a dozen times every day looking for my glasses, Oval in one app on your smartphone or in the home hub itself, which is really pretty looking, like a smart home gadget that'll live on your wall. It'll tell you where you left your glasses. It'll tell you if you've left a burner on, a candle lit, the garage door open. It's contextual, so it knows the difference between your kids playing in the backyard and your toddler getting too close to a pool. The way it works in general works with all the devices you already own. So if you have a Ring camera or a Vivint camera or something in a room, it'll tap into all of that. So instead of picking this up every single time you need to look at something and tap 20 different apps and get notifications all day long about a deer walking through your backyard, it just delivers what you need to know when you need to know it. So that solves a really big problem, and it surprises me it's taken that long to get kind of that brains of the smart home to work as well as you need it to. That comes out later this year, and I'm dying to test it out in my house. Oh, another company that really, really stood out to me, and I had such a visceral reaction, Dolby. It's known for sound, right? Dolby created surround sound, Dolby Atmos. Dolby unveiled Dolby Vision 2. Now, here's the thing. It's not a shiny new gadget. Nope. It's just going to be baked into new televisions kind of from here on out. It made what you're watching on the screen, it made it look like it came out and into the room with you. Not like a hologram, not like 3D, but it was so immersive and sharp. And I, you know, seen all the TV tech here. This is where new TVs come to, you know, bigger, better, everything. I got the chills. Like, it gave me chill bumps all over my arms. When you pair it with that Dolby Atmos, it's the most immersive, realistic, not weird like a soap opera. It was absolutely stunning. So that's solving for that real problem of kind of all this really geeky stuff
yeah.
with shutter and lag time and all the different things that, you know, most of us will never really know much about unless you're an expert in the space. But they solve for it in a million genius ways, and it will make such a big difference.
Yeah, and with Dolby Vision 2, I loved the fact that it wasn't just in like $4,000 TVs, but it's going to be like in your Hisense, like $150 TVs. You know, what people need to think about is when you do buy your new TV, it's like the Intel Inside campaigns back in the 90s, you know. You're going to want to look at the box and see and make sure it has that Dolby Vision 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, it made just the ambient, it could tell through its sensors, like the light in your room.
Yeah.
So it would make the darkers darker. If it was too dark, it would bring up the LEDs. And then also if someone was whispering like a secret, like you're watching a CIA show and it's like really, really hard to understand.
Yeah.
What percentage of people these days are like watching shows with like the captions on
or something, watch TV with
So Dolby actually thought about that, and they said, you know, when it gets really, really low and you can barely hear someone talking, they will take that and the Dolby technology will actually like bring that up so you can hear it more. So, you know, my wife and I, we have the captions on for everything.
Yeah.
And we're not even like quote unquote old, but you know, it's so hard to hear things. And then if you are watching something that has commercials, like all of a sudden you had to turn the TV up and now the commercials are like blasting in your ear. So that got me excited.
Yeah. Anything like we have Sonos for our audio. It's really, really wonderful audio, but it's so impossible to just get it to work on all the gadgets all the time.
Yeah. Things we love. Let's jump into the segment everybody loves. Marry, fund, kill.
Marry, fund, kill. Boop, boop. I want to marry the Ohm Home Chill Lamp, which is what you guys should rename it. It's the Ohm Health Home Resonance Lamp, but it should be the Ohm Home Lamp or the Ohm Home Chill Lamp. It is this beautiful glass-blown lamp. Hopefully you have a chance to watch this on YouTube because you got to see this thing. It's such a beautiful like bedside lamp. It's glass-blown. It's really pretty, but a little pebble sits on top of it. And you twist the pebble one way and it brightens up the lamp. You twist it the other way and it makes like white noise, like water running.
But, like Zen music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take the pebble off of the top of the lamp, you hold it in your hand, and it's a meditation device or a breathing device. It's got haptic feedback. It's kind of heavy. It's kind of warm. You hold it in the palm of your hand, and it matches with your breath. So you take an inhale in, and the lamp lights up to the top of the lamp. You exhale, it gets dimmer to the bottom of the lamp. The goal is to change the color from white, that means I'm super stressed out, to blue, which means I am zen AF. I am chill. My biorhythms are all back in sync. And I described this in a video that I did about it. I feel like normal, like my normal feeling at CES is that my shoulders are living somewhere at the base of my skull. Like I'm like super tense and my neck hurts all the time. And I like did a couple breaths with this thing and I could feel like I relaxed from the top of my hair sticking up here all the way down to my toenails. That worked. That just worked.
In under 2 minutes.
It took me less than 2 minutes to go from white to blue, which of course I felt very competitive about. I wanted to win the race. This comes out in July or August. $99 pre-order. It will save your spot to be one of the first people to own this. And then it'll ship to you for about $250.
Yep.
I think that's a really good price. I love that. I want to marry it.
Okay.
What do you want to marry?
I want to marry...
Did you see his eye roll?
No. I'm thinking about my marriage. Your marriage is great.
All right.
you and Ohm can go move to Palm Springs
and live out
your days.
All right. Perfect.
I am going to marry the Luxottica Nuance Audio glasses.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes, so I want to marry these glasses because my in-laws live like 10 minutes from us. And my father-in-law is getting older. He hates wearing his
hearing aids
because I think it always reminds him that he's getting old and he can't hear.
Yeah.
So these glasses, you put them on and all of a sudden, was there eight speakers or eight different things?
There's directional microphones. So there's two receivers in the front of the glasses. So for a total of four and two on each side. And then there's a speaker just above your ear and it uses bone conduction technology. So it's not like somebody standing next to you.
Yeah.
Here's exactly what you're hearing, but on a pair of beautifully designed glasses.
They looked amazing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They looked really cool on you.
Yeah.
Clark Kent.
Yeah, and they had like black, blue, like so many different varieties.
Yeah.
And you put them on and you could hear the person. They say it's up to like 10 feet, but just like even
10 times better up to 10 feet.
Yeah.
But I put them on and I felt like I was deaf. I have very mild hearing loss, but I felt like I couldn't hear a freaking thing. And I put them on and I could hear everything crystal clear. It was a little tinny. There was a little bit of that top noise.
And they did say, I don't know how this works. And so I would be curious to test it. But they did say like it has to learn from you.
Yeah.
So at first when we put them on, I could hear my voice, which I already hate enough. And they just said like the glasses will like adapt to your voice and you'll hear that less. And then it'll also adapt to your own hearing so you can hear things better.
Yeah, so I could hear people talking in front of me. I could hear my photographer talking to me. But this was what I loved about it. As a news reporter and a general, like, I want to know everything.
A general sleuth.
A general snoop. I'll live with that moniker. I could hear the conversation going on next to me really well, a conversation across the room really well. All of a sudden, I was dialed in. And this is how my brain works anyway. I'm like, I'm listening to that and that and that and that and that and the person right in front of me. I could hear it all in real time. Oh, I was like, oh, that was my that was my honeymoon night. Okay, we both know what we're totally crushing on. What would you kill?
Kill? I would kill, to put a bow on it, health and everything.
you don't want a sensor in your toilet?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Like, when I saw the toilet sensors, I was like, I understand a bidet. I understand, like, something like that. But, I don't know, like, just the way that the person explained it to me, that it's leaving your body anyway, so why don't we pull something from it? I just was like, okay, that's like we've just gone too far. So for me, health and everything, I see a dark road, a lot of anxiety-induced mornings and nights. And I think also the biggest problem with all this health and everything is a lot of the apps will tell you the numbers. But it's not like they give solutions or anything like that. So
I'm having that problem with even like translating what my Oura Ring is telling me.
Yeah.
Okay, you told me I didn't get enough sleep. Now what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, cool. I'll just try to get more whatever.
Yeah, so, whatever.
What about you? What would you kill?
I'd also kill these little holographic soulmates. There's one called LePro Amy. It's your AI soulmate. Razer also just unveiled one. You're always on 3D AI soulmate. Ew.
Yeah. So we've talked about robots and then just AI and soulmates and stuff. Like, have you seen these videos online of people like talking to like their AI like girlfriends and stuff? I'm just like, we need to get back to reality.
There are people who prefer their relationship with their AI lovers to their relationship with like their spouses. That's broken.
Yeah.
You're broken. Your brain is broken.
What are you going to fund?
The Hypershell X Ultra. It's already funded. It's already out there. These cost $2,000. But this is a wearable exoskeleton. It's made out of carbon, so it's really super light. It's an e-bike for your body. These are everywhere in Las Vegas this week. There are a bunch of different companies that have these out. This is the one that I spent about 10 hours in yesterday, put about 40,000 steps in with it. You still are in total control. It's very similar to an e-bike. You still have to do the motion. You're still doing the work, but it gives you an extra boost when you need it. So for somebody like my dad with the start of some mobility issues, he loves to be outside. He's super active, but his hips hurt really bad. His knees hurt really bad. He can't go for walks with us in the woods anymore, or he can't take a stroll on the beach. It's wearing as much on his mental health as it is on his physical health. I want to put him in those and get him back out there in the world with us.
So is it just for older people, or like who's the main target?
Anyone with $2,000 to spend on a wearable exoskeleton. So it's for that e-bike crowd. It's for hikers. It's for active people. The company's video, their promotional video, what we call B-roll, they showed people running. Like, I'm an ultra marathon runner. I wouldn't use these because I'm still a marathon runner. But if I wanted to keep up with you running an ultra marathon, I would wear them.
You'd need more than that.
Well, yeah. We'll see.
But
of the two of us who've done ultra marathons.
But here's my question. What if you were an ultra marathoner coming back from an injury? Will it help? Like, if you still want to get running in.
Your knee's still going to hurt like a son of a. Who would you fund?
I've been to CES so many years, and the older I get, it's like when I first came here, I like loved seeing the TVs and stuff.
Yeah.
Just like the big box stuff. And the older I've gotten, the less dependent I am of like just wanting to buy more and more tech. I would fund practicality. So the things I really liked this year, I talked about was the glasses. We also saw like a pair of shoes that was like very practical for like people so they don't slip. So I would continue to fund practicality. I think that's the future of tech. Like you said, get rid of marketing, bring back practicality. Tell us exactly what it does and how it is better for my life.
You need to just put us in charge.
What I'm getting out of both of our experiences here at CES, more people, fewer big, flashy, jaw-dropping innovations and gadgets. CES 2026 doesn't feel as much like a flex as it does kind of a reckoning. Like, we are sick of tech for tech's sake. After years of bigger screens, louder launches, AI for AI's sake, the most interesting shift this year, in some respects, is restraint. It's companies admitting that it's not going to be AI marketing jargon that wins us over. It's going to be gadgets that do what you say they're going to do, that work out of the box and make our lives better. We're all pretty saturated. We all have enough gadgets. We all have too many apps, and we're all trying to get back our time, our attention, and our sanity. So what stands out is not the stuff that's trying to replace us or overwhelm us. It's trying to help us quietly, practically, on a random Tuesday, not just in a demo booth.
Yeah.
What'd you think about today's episode of Techishly Gen? Be sure to let me know. Follow our newsletter, reach out on the socials. Can't wait to see you right back here on the next installment of Techishly Gen.